Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Radio Rehab, where we excitedly meet people in the community that care about the effects of drug addiction and alcoholism and mental illness in our families and communities. And I know Alice just had a talk show ahead of ours, Drumbeat, and So It Goes. So they've already prepared our audience for today's discussion about mental illness and addictions. I hope you all enjoyed Snoop Dogg's mother. I heard that it was really exciting to hear from her and to understand that her life as a mother and as a woman with alcoholism is no different than any of the rest of ours. And I hope she shared and brought some hope and some answers to people in our community. And today's guest I have known since probably the middle 80s. Pastor Jerry Daniels is a passionate pastor, as most pastors that we know and love are. I don't understand a lot about Christianity because I'm Jewish, but I do understand when people have faith and when they give hope and when they have prayer and try to live a good life. And this is what Pastor Jerry Daniels does with his own time, his own energy. I work with his wife at Integrity Psych and Counseling, so I know they are a family that not just talk the talk, they walk the walk. And for Radio Rehab purposes, we like when people come here and share their experience, strength, and hope with us. And that's what Pastor Jerry is going to do today. He has an incredible story of addiction, resilience, prayer, and paying it forward every single day. So I proudly introduce you here in a minute. Let me give you our phone number if you want to call in and ask any questions of Pastor Jerry or myself. Call 424-1400. Don't hesitate. Nothing's below the belt. As in Alice's show, we need to ask a lot of questions. We need to get a lot of answers. And there is hope that we can get better one person at a time. So call if you have any questions or sharings. If you're out of this community, call 888-846-7867, and we will stop what we're doing and take your call, answer your questions, or want to hear your sharings. So to continue, I want to introduce my friend and somebody I admire deeply with what he has done with his clean and sober life. So I want to introduce you to my friend, Jerry. Jerry, thank you for coming.
Yeah. What a great introduction. Thank you, Lisa.
It's deserved,
definitely. Well, I appreciate that so much.
Yeah. So what about you? Born and raised in Evansville.
In Evansville. I have lived on every side of town. East side, west side, south side. I grew up, went to six different grade schools and three different high schools. So I'm familiar with just about all the back alleys and all the ways to get around town. And I've met tons and tons of people by going to all the different schools and living the life I've lived. Feel free to jump in too, Lisa, if you've got anything, okay. Interrupt me and correct my English because it's going to be wrong.
No.
Okay. But I am the result of a mother, a biological mother, who was addicted to prescription drugs of all things. So I know we like to think of drugs and the negative aspect of drugs being street drugs.
Yeah.
But my mother was addicted to prescribed barbiturates. Mm. When I was just a little guy, she had heart trouble. And through the recovery of that and heart operations, they started prescribing these barbiturates. And I remember seeing those all over the place, little white pills with lines in the middle. I didn't know what they were, but that's my experience with addiction as a young boy, a biological mother who was addicted to barbiturates. And when those weren't available, the addiction carried over into alcohol of any kind, mostly beer, but alcohol of any kind. And so I grew up in that environment. The years that I was supposed to be nurtured by a biological mother, and there's a lot of people who know exactly what I'm talking about, whether you're affected by addiction or not. The years I was supposed to be nurtured by a biological mother were spent taking care of myself, basically. And I'm old enough to relate to the fact that there weren't services available then where someone could step in and do something about it. It just wasn't that way then. So we lived with an addicted mother, and that was my exposure initially.
Did you know that was what was wrong?
We suspected. I have a twin brother, so we were young enough really not to understand. We suspected and knew that these things she was taking, these little white pills, would change her personality. Her speech would slur. The attributes of being a mom, the physical things that needed to be done, she could not do. Laundry, washing dishes, anything like that. We hardly went to school, barely, because there was no direction, no parental guidance to do that. My father had left when we were young because he couldn't deal with it anymore, mm-hmm. and divorced. So we knew something was wrong. We just didn't really understand what it was. But we also knew that if she didn't take these white pills or didn't at least have some alcohol, that she would have symptoms of something else. Now I know it was withdrawal. Then we didn't know. We just knew if she didn't take the pill, she would fall on the floor and have grandma seizures, which, if you've never seen that, it's horrific.
Yes, it is.
It's your mother, you know, flailing around on the floor and foaming at the mouth and almost swallowing her tongue. It was just a terrifying experience. But so we knew something was wrong. If she didn't take these pills, that would happen. So we encouraged her to take the pills.
Sure.
And if we didn't have them, we'd find a way for her to get those. Now, she had five or six different doctors that she was able to line up to get her pills from. But if she didn't have the money, then we would be commissioned, so to speak, to steal something to sell or to get the money.
She would encourage you to steal?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we became very, very good at that. But the whole reason was to keep her from having the seizures. At the time, we didn't know.
No, but I guess when you're a young boy, you love your mother more than life itself. You'll
mama.
Do anything.
Do anything for mama. Not knowing, it wasn't about wrong or right.
No.
It was about survival.
Jeez.
And there again, I want to emphasize, I know there's a lot of folks listening that understand what I'm talking mm-hmm. about, whether they're involved in addiction or not. They know exactly what I mean by survival.
And I think sometimes we wonder, why won't the kids talk to somebody about it? Yeah. Well, no, you're busy trying to save your mother's life and
Why are you not
her?
Doing good in school? Well, because you're so busy trying to survive, you can't fathom that algebra is going to do anything to correct this situation.
Sure.
You know, so I grew up that way till eventually it came to the point she was so far gone. That she was bringing men home every weekend because she would venture out to try to either get money or
somebody take care of her.
Yeah, and more alcohol. So she'd bring men home, which we were told to call uncle. We met hundreds of men like that. But one man...
Hundreds of uncles.
We had hundreds of uncles. Big family. You know.
Oh, boy.
One uncle came and... I remember, just like it was yesterday, he loaded us up in the back of a pickup truck, took us to Florida, which seemed like an eternal drive as a young boy. Mm-hmm. And we stayed there for several weeks until we ran out of money and exhausted the Fritos and bologna, which is what we ate for, I remember, at least a week. Mm-hmm. And they brought us back to Evansville. And it was in the middle of wintertime, Riverside Drive, downtown, used to be a Redbird station. Many of you know that Redbird station where it used to be, right before the curve.
Right.
There was a phone booth there. Well, not a booth, a phone.
I think there's still a gas station there.
Is there? Okay.
And a laundromat. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, anyway, it was that's location, and the pickup truck pulled in, and my mother and the man told us to get out, my twin brother and I. We got out of the pickup. We thought we were going to bathroom break, maybe get something, a refreshment or something. They closed the back of the pickup truck. They got in and left. And there we were in the middle of winter at a phone booth, Redbird Station, Evansville. And
by yourselves?
By ourselves. I didn't see my mother again until I was 20, in my 20s. I don't remember exactly when it was.
My God, that sounds like the Prince of Tides movie.
Yeah, I guess it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Total abandonment?
Yeah, total abandonment. She was gone.
And no one there to pick you up or where you were going to go?
We had no idea what we were going to do. We ended up wandering. and we were able to keep warm because it was winter and we had Florida clothes on. We were able to keep warm by trying to locate dryer vents in people's homes. You could see the smoke coming out, so that's how we would warm our hands and keep warm while we were wandering. And the amazing thing is, not one person stopped. Here's two little boys, middle of winter with Florida clothes on. Not one person stopped to say, "How can we help you?"
Wow.
So, which generates in me now a greater desire, a greater motivation. I'll help anybody.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Help anybody. And a lot of things motivate you to do things, obviously. But so didn't see Mama again till I was an adult. We eventually ended up at my father's biological father's house, who had got remarried, and we stayed there one night. He called the authorities, and they came and took us and placed us in Hillcrest. Hillcrest Washington Home is what I think it's still called.
It's
that.
Still
I don't know.
There, yes.
I think it's not as a permanent residence as it was then.
It was like a boys' home.
Right, it was actually girls and boys. They're for abandoned, abused kids, and also kids who had no parents who were needed to be adopted, that type of thing.
Like an orphanage.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wasn't even a group home for troubled kids trouble. It was a home for, like, an orphanage.
Yeah, it really was. And it was.
So that became your home?
I lived there for a while, and then I'd run away. And
sure.
I got shipped around to different foster homes, and that's how I ended up going to all the different schools. And being the new kid every year, always the new kid. But that is what addiction brings. Mm. I've never seen anything good come out of substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or prescribed drugs or street drugs. I've never seen anything good come out
either.
Of it.
I haven't either, yeah. So did you there start addressing the substance abuse disorder, or they didn't even call it that back then?
They didn't
then?
Call it that. Yeah, they most people believed at that time that you choose to do what you're doing and you can make the choice to stop.
People still think that.
Yeah, it's a shame that we have that attitude because once you become addicted, your brain actually does change. And I've done a lot of studies on this, and there's a point where the craving takes over everything else. It's just like you guys that smoke. You know, you know that craving of nicotine, how that takes over everything. You got to have that cigarette with a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah,
in the morning,
it's insatiable.
Or after you eat or that type. It's like that, but more intense. And so it does take over. And the choice to quit is taken away.
Right.
So did you start using? I started using, but I'm not sure that I ever became a full-blown addict because I always had in my mind that image of Mama on the floor.
Mm.
Always had that. And that was a good motivator. I tried everything.
Mm-hmm.
My drug of choice was, of course, in my day, we called it reefer.
Right.
I don't know.
That's still a big drug of choice.
Yeah, I mean,
weed.
Yeah, weed. That's just what we did from morning to, but we didn't consider that to be a problem.
They still don't.
Yeah. Although all of my friends developed an addiction, psychological or whatever, an
to
addiction
weed.
To it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Which led to this and led to that. And most of the guys I grew up with are in prison or have died from overdoses or they've disappeared. They just did not make it through the experience of that
maybe
lifestyle.
The marijuana was your way of numbing out to the reality of
definite
it all.
Definite escape.
Kind of a self-medication.
Self-medication, yeah. But even that, I knew, you know, I didn't stay with that because I could see the images, what addiction produces. And that never left me. Never left me.
So it worked for you, not against
exactly.
you, your mother's addiction. What about your brother?
Well, no, my brother, he's still addicted. In fact, his preference is alcohol. And he'll, from the moment he wakes up till he goes to sleep, he's just carried on that tradition. It's not that he doesn't know he has a problem. He just doesn't have that switch come on yet
where he
said,
help.
I've got to do something about this. You know, maybe he hasn't hit what I call the bottom yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Some people never do.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, some people
it's
never
scary.
Do. It is
or
very
they
scary.
Do hit it, but they haven't hit it hard enough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God, we've met hundreds of people that stop, but they can't stay stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay. The hardest thing to find out in life is that is to say it's okay for me to admit I've got a problem, whether it's addiction or well, no matter what the problem
right.
is, especially for guys from my generation.
Hard to admit
something's
broke.
Fix it. You fix it. You buck up. You suck it up. Be a man.
Keep it in the house.
Yeah. Oh, you don't talk about this stuff. Oh, no way. Yeah.
So you didn't.
No, we didn't.
For years and years.
For years and years and years. And I didn't forgive for years and years because I was of the same opinion that most people maybe still are today, that my mama chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I found
whatever happened to her, Jerry?
She eventually we tried to reestablish a relationship, but she was so, and I'm going to use my own vernacular, she was so fried, she was so blown that we couldn't, and it destroyed her. She died at 53. Her body so bloated, internal bleeding from the abuse, and she passed away. I was there and watched it happen, which is still surreal today. But that's, I've lived longer than she had, which is amazing to even think about.
Yeah, and
wow.
What about your father?
He passed away last year, but he eventually got past his own addictions and own problems. He had a lot of problems.
Well,
but,
it sounds weird, like you've been saturated with addictions around you all your life.
All around. And most of that saturation has been from people who didn't realize they were addicted.
Mm.
You know.
How did you hang on, just because we'll talk more about this after the break, how did you hang on to such love that you have for the human spirit with such darkness in your past?
As I look back at it, I think my grandmother and my grandfather planted a seed in me that had so much light in it that it was able to shine through no matter what darkness I was confronted with. The unconditional love they had for me, which came from their relationship with God through Jesus Christ, kept me going because they planted that seed when I was just a little kid. And I always had hope, always knew that this is not over, this is not.
Did you know it was abnormal or did you think it was normal? Did you know it was abnormal?
For me to be that way?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, because everybody would treat me like, well, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not necessarily a positive thinker, you know, that power of positive thinking, but at the same time, I always knew there's hope. I went beyond the dope. We had talked before we
You're
came on.
You're a hope dealer, not a dope dealer.
I'm a hope dealer, not
like
a dope
that.
Dealer.
And your grandparents gave you that.
They planted that seed, and I didn't know it till later. That's what kept me going. That's how I was able to survive and get past all this.
Thank God for grandparenting.
Oh, man. Oh.
I meet so many kids that they're grandparents.
You just need to give Grandma a hug today.
And yes.
Grandpa, Grandma, Grandpa Day.
Yeah,
you need to give them a hug because if not for them, you know, where would you be?
So they gave you the hope and the courage to,
they sure did.
To love and to keep believing in people.
And then once I was no longer a ward of the court at 18, I reestablished a relationship. While I was being transferred around, there were no relationships with family, but I reestablished relationship with my grandmother. That really helped me as an adult also. Really. Big time.
To get back and connect with her.
Absolutely.
So she even impacted you in your adult life.
Oh, yeah. And some of you appreciate this. She would make me sing on the phone before she hung up, "We Are Standing on Holy Ground." I couldn't hang up the phone till we sang that together.
Aww.
And I know there's somebody listening who will appreciate that.
And then they're singing that, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
"We Are Standing on Holy Ground." Absolutely. Maybe you could sing it for us before we
maybe.
End the show.
We'll
right
see.
Now, we just have to take a break to hear from our sponsors. This is an incredible discussion today with Pastor Jerry Daniels and his story of perseverance, love, faith, and just believing in the human spirit. We will be right back.
I know it's Father's Day, but you don't have to get me anything. All I want is to know you love me. That and a 4-burner gas grill with a 13,000 BTU stainless steel side burner and warming rack.
We're lowering the cost of showing Dad some love. A custom-designed Home Depot gift card lets him choose just what he wants, from grills to tools and more. And they're available in-store or online.
Get whatever. I'm not picky.
More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Moving forward with your plans can be hard when pain is dragging you down. So turn to Advil and Thermacare. Thermacare delivers heat that penetrates deep to soothe and relax muscles for all-day relief. And nothing's been proven to work better or last longer than Advil. With the right relief, you'll be back on track. Look for special savings on Advil and Thermacare at your local Walgreens. There's a way to stay well at Walgreens. Use all products as directed, among OTC pain relievers.
Express Local Next Day Delivery is here at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Most stores have to order your new mattress and you have to wait. With Ashley, buy it today and sleep on it tomorrow. We stock Tempur-Pedic, Simmons, and Sealy. See one of Ashley's factory-trained sleep specialists for a no-pressure consultation. We have over 150 years of mattress experience behind each customer we serve. Don't have another night of tossing and turning. Come into Ashley's Sleep Shop today and be dreaming tomorrow. Your number one mattress source, Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
And now, Walmart's countdown to summer. Low-price tips to get you ready for outdoor fun. This week's project, mastering the grill.
With Walmart's low prices on Kingsford charcoal and Kingsford Matchlight charcoal, you can afford to cook out every day this summer. Burgers tonight, chicken tomorrow, hot dogs the next. Take it up a notch with kebabs and seafood, all at Walmart's low prices. Then let your family vote on their favorite charcoal grilled meal to serve on the 4th of July. More fun, more flavor, thanks to Walmart's low prices every day on everything. Save money, live better, Walmart.
Getting farther faster means earning your MBA and more. That's why at DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management, we offer career advancement support with a career strategist to guide you, an expert writer to craft your resume, and one-on-one career coaching powered by CareerBuilder, so you can gain both the knowledge to move ahead and the know-how to get noticed. DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. Learn more at keller.edu.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warrick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
We are back with Pastor Jerry Daniels, who I think is a hope dealer, not a dope dealer. And he was talking to us about his life as a child and adolescence before the break. And I wanted to go more into talking to him about the seeds his grandparents planted in his life. Thank God for grandparents and how that's made a difference and shaped him to who he is today. So don't forget, you can call 424-1400 if you want to talk to us. Otherwise, we'll continue with the show and where we left off. My favorite hope dealer, not dope dealer, just about yeah. grandparenting yeah. and how they can plant those. Somebody has to plant those seeds, don't they?
Well, and that's an amazing thing about grandparents. I think we call God Father, but I think God might be a grandfather because grandmother and grandfather have unconditional love. They have unconditional regard no matter what. Your parents, they love you, but not necessarily unconditionally. You have to live up to certain expectations.
That's true. True.
In a lot of ways, but grandparents are not that way, unconditionally. So if you can grab what they give you, that unconditional love and unconditional regard, and carry that through, it changes your perspective on everything. Because as far as I'm concerned, every human being, because they're human and for no other reason, deserves unconditional love. Every human being. Addiction happens to destroy a lot of that and fogs the way you see things.
Yeah.
But I made it through because of that seed that was planted. Unconditional love seed is what I call it.
Yeah.
You know, and then realizing, too, that their strong roots in the church really affected me. And that's how my life was turned around once I reached 18. I got re-established, reoriented back into a Christian lifestyle, and that changed everything for me. So I made it through high school. Of course, I did graduate miraculously, so
even God was in charge of that. Huh?
Well, and I'm attending college now as a full-time college student to continue doing what I'm doing, dealing hope.
Right, right.
But that seed, I don't know if I can emphasize that enough. How important that is.
I think you're right. I just finished the Teen Power Camp here at the University of Evansville, 200 teenagers.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just what you said, if I had to mention one word that just vibrated through that whole camp. It was the unconditional love, yeah, and how these kids could just open up like flowers.
Isn't
at
that
the
something?
Unconditional love around them, oh, for each other. People, kids from all different places were in this world together for a week of unconditional love, and how they thrived.
Yeah. And then throwing in that unconditional regard,
right,
too,
right,
because you're a human being.
Exactly.
No other reason.
Not
no,
how you dress.
Yeah, right.
Not what you. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Has nothing to do with anything else other than that, because you're human.
Right.
God created you, and you are worth unconditional regard.
Yeah.
Period.
And I think Alcoholics Anonymous, that I'm very proud of, to be a member of. That's what I felt when I went in the rooms of AA, unconditional love and unconditional regard. But people hold you accountable in AA. You're not off the hook. You know, you still have behaviors that have to show love and regard to other people. But you're right. You can't underestimate the power of love.
There has to be that accountability and discipline, but that's part of unconditional love.
It is, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you take all that and allow those seeds to come out. Once you deal with your addiction, whatever that might be, that's when you can start seeing clearly, because you're fogged up.
Yeah.
You cannot see things clearly. You can't.
That's right.
You think you do.
The sickness tells you you're okay.
Yeah. But once you clear, then the seeds that were planted have the ability to come out. But they can't come out until you treat what the immediate problem is. And for a lot of us, that's addiction.
Yeah.
For a lot of us.
Yes.
And it's hard within the Christian community. It's hard for a lot of us to say that we have a problem, to say that you know, because we've heard, I don't have enough faith. That's why, you know, you can't get past
something's wrong with your prayer life.
You're not reading your Bible enough. You're not going to church enough. Mm. Well, maybe it goes deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you need to deal with the initial problem, and that is an addiction problem. That's a physical, mental, and spiritual problem. There's not just one aspect. Because I've seen many people deal with the mental aspect of it and forget the other two.
Yes.
Or the physical, forget the spiritual. Until you deal with all three, physical, mental, and spiritual, you'll never be a whole person.
Yeah.
But once you do, that's when the seed comes out, the grandma planted.
Yeah.
And you carry
and then you're kind of excited.
Oh, yeah. Passionate. Absolutely.
So why do Pastor Jerry's turn out ready to be hope dealers, where others come out of those situations so broken? Still,
I think that they don't, in a lot of cases, they don't allow help.
That's true.
We're here for each other, and by disregarding that, it's your help comes in the form of another human being. God uses other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. How it was set up a long time ago. And so we have a tendency to not accept that help. You know, I'm not going to admit I've got a problem. Are you kidding me?
How embarrassed I would be.
How embarrassed, man. I'm not even going to talk about that. But we have to get past that.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. But that's what I do see a common denominator is. Those who do not make it through have not gotten past the fact that it's okay. I need help.
Yeah.
You know, I could have a heart disease, and I'm going to realize that and ask for help. I'm going to get it, whether it's medicine.
You're going to a cardiologist for sure yesterday.
You know, well, if I've got something.
Or if you can't breathe.
Yeah. If I've got something wrong with my brain, where that's what addiction is, it's something wrong with your brain.
Yes.
I can ask for help and get it.
And there is that pride thing.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, really,
Jerry,
is.
We have a caller. Okay. Just a second. Hi, welcome to Radio Rehab.
Hello. I have a question that I think that Brother Jerry could answer that may help those who are confused about the idea of who they are.
Mm, great. Thank you.
Because when we become addicted, to the idea. And in our mind, there's a voice that talks to us constantly. And I'd like to hear what his idea was of himself just before he took a step, when he recognized that there was a bridge in his life that would help him turn around.
Well, excellent.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of that, the idea of yourself, a lot of that is poured into you in your environment. Your mom was an addict. Your dad left. He was no good. He was a womanizer. You're bound to be a bad seed, man. You, look at you. You're living at Hillcrest Home. Look at the clothes you wear. You know, a lot of that is poured into your brain to where you accept some of that without even knowing it. Your idea of yourself, that you're not worth
anything.
You're
flawed.
Yeah, you're flawed. You're faulty. There's no way. Even if I ask for help, nobody's going to give it to me because I don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. I'm on the lower echelon. I don't have any money. I don't have the resources. On and on, the ideas come and they build in your mind. Well, once you come to the point of facing that you have a problem, whatever that might be, then you realize, wait a minute. I'm created in God's image. I am a valuable human being. I'm valuable. I am worth something just because I exist, period. Pure has nothing to do with social economic status or the color of my skin or the religion I belong to. It has to do with the fact that I am a child of God. I'm worth something. I'm valuable.
Well, what made that transition happen for you?
Had to deal with the immediate problems first. You know, whatever those. For me, it was unforgiveness. That was my addiction.
What kept you in bondage.
Oh my goodness.
Anger.
Just. I don't know if I could say I hated my mother, but I hated what she did.
Sure.
And I didn't understand that it was a problem, that it was an addiction, that it was a disease that could be treated. I didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was older that I realized that my unforgiveness was like me drinking poison, thinking that it's hurting Lisa, thinking that it's hurting you. Mm-hmm. When it was killing me. And so that's what turned it around, understanding my problem, my immediate problem was unforgiveness.
Just that just kept you shackled.
Oh yeah. Oh, just tied down. And so once I confronted that, then the seeds that were planted were able to come out, and I could start, as the caller alluded to, I could start seeing, oh wait, there are different ideas about me. There's truths about me that I didn't know. I am valuable. I am worth saving. I am worth fighting for. I do deserve to be a whole human being, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Caller, is that what you meant? Oh, I guess the caller's gone. Thank you for calling. That was a great question. Yeah, how do you go? What is that bridge? So you're saying just to start telling yourself that you're okay and you're valuable just because you're Jerry Daniels.
That's right. Deal with the immediate problem. What's the immediate problem? Well, I drink all the time. Well, you need to deal with that immediate problem. Until you deal with the immediate problem, you're never going to get on to the deeper stuff.
So you can't fill up the pews in prayer. I mean, you can take the body, and that's good. That's a start.
That's a start.
But until you really recognized that what was killing you spiritually was unforgiveness, you couldn't get better no matter how much you went to church or prayed.
No matter what.
That's interesting.
You have to look, and that's what, if we don't look at ourselves, not everybody else, at ourselves, we'll never get over whatever it is we need, or get through, I should say, not over, get through whatever it is we need to get through. We have to look at ourselves.
So that started to happen for you.
Yes, it did. And once I did that, I was able to take the steps to not only become healed and recover, but to pass that on to other people.
So, Jerry, is that what happened? You graduated high school.
Yeah, miracle.
One of the only ones in your family, right?
That's right, yeah.
Still kind of feeling flawed and defected, but it was mom's fault. And then you left there and went out in the world and saw that unforgiveness was crippling you.
That's right.
Then what happened?
I started to day by day recover and change. And look inward every day to see the things that needed to change about me.
Did you go into a prayer life at that point?
Absolutely. My prayer life, intense study of the Bible, the Holy Bible, tying the Old Testament in with the New Testament.
So you just started consciously studying those books?
Consciously. I became a pastor because of that. I had no intention of becoming a pastor. That was not a goal of mine.
Yeah, I could see where that would have never looked like something you'd want to do.
Not at all. But it was just a great. I look at things that no matter where I am in my life, and if you're listening, no matter where you are, God has a plan. There is a plan. But you cannot see or participate in that plan until you get rid of the fog, whatever that fog is for you. And that's what you have to confront first. So, and that's a daily. I wish you could just wave your magic wand. And,
well, to admit it and own it's a start.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because whoever wants, nobody wants to do that. Our greatest enemy is ourselves.
Yeah.
And until we can look at that, even after you admit the thing that's keeping you, that's holding you down, there's still always going to be something.
Got a lot of work to do from there on.
A lot of work to do. But it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all
good. It's exciting.
Yeah, snapping fingers to say it's all good.
So did that come to you on your own that you needed to do that studying? Like I study my big book and study my literature and my program. Did you just feel you needed to devote some time to studying as a young adult?
I had an internal drive. I've been told to encourage that by pastors and different people I'd talked to.
So you were close and connected to a church life anyway.
Right. And,
gotcha.
And found out how important it is to be established with a group of people. We all need support.
People. Yeah.
We need support.
Definitely.
In some way. While Grandmama's Seed came out, I still needed support to live that out. Mm-hmm. And we all need that in our everyday lives. We need commonality with another human being. We need relationship with ourselves and with God.
And you found that in the church?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I found it specifically through Jesus Christ. And that's how I had this intense passion. I still have it. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to know more.
What was it about Jesus Christ that...
Unconditional love and unconditional regard.
That Jesus Christ had?
Absolutely. And he still has.
That was his life.
Right.
Good Jewish guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus.
And you would know that. Yeah. Yeah, great Jewish guy.
Yes.
But being God manifested in the flesh, he loves us no matter what. We have this tendency to think that, well, we're going to be stopped being loved because of our behavior, because of our addiction, because of the bad things we do, and that he doesn't stop loving you. Just like a grandmother or a grandmother, they don't stop loving you. He does not stop loving you. He died for that right.
So it sounds like the church and Jesus gave to you what Alcoholics Anonymous and Bill Wilson gave to me.
Isn't
just
it amazing?
A belief that you can change and it can be a world worth living.
Yeah, Lisa,
in.
How's
that's
that go? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall
for anything.
Yeah.
So however people have to do that, it's there.
Hope is there.
Hope is there.
But you have, does come a point where you got to just plant your feet. You have to plant your feet.
Yeah. And own it. I think that's been your constant theme, Jerry, is just own your stuff.
Absolutely.
This is my friend Jane, who comes co-hosts it with me sometimes. Jerry Daniels.
Hi.
So Jane just joined us in the show. Great. People are always welcome to come in. It's like a big meeting in
here.
Come on in. Hear the hope. Do you feel that's what you got the first time you went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, Jane? If you had to mention one word of what you got there right off the bat, would you say it was hope?
Connectedness.
Ooh, yeah. Because isolate,
talking to another alcoholic. Yeah.
Knew exactly what you were saying, how you were feeling.
Because people who don't share that common, the common problem, common solution is what you find in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah, and I think that's what he was saying.
That's what
you and the church
us from other people,
right? And in his church, it's that aloneness that brings them that need to be connected and.
That's right.
But, you know,
to a spiritual quest.
What you find in those rooms is, we're not unique. We all have, we're all flawed. So it's common problem, A, admitting that you have that common problem.
Yes.
And B, one alcoholic talking to another one, and this is what I did, and this is how I stay sober.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
And there's the key, one day at a time with everything, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever, one day at a time.
Simple.
Yeah, because, yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not even here.
Right.
Well, don't go away, Radio Rehab. We've just brought another guest in that's joined the show. Jane is talking with Jerry and I. We'll be right back sharing our excitement about hope and connectedness and ways to make the world a better place. We'll be right back.
WEOA, the most diverse radio station in the tri-state, is proud to announce two new exciting programs for our Hispanic friends in the community. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 12:30 to the new 24/7 Dad's Hispanic program in Spanish, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center. The half-hour show discusses life skills, parenting, and a host of other relevant topics. Connexion Thalia Radio Show. Thalia is a platinum-selling recording artist, internationally known, and nationally syndicated radio host. This popular two-hour weekly program comes to Evansville by way of WEOA every Sunday afternoon from 12 to 2 p.m. Thalia discusses music, fashion, and entertainment. See you this Sunday at noon for the Connexion Thalia Radio Show, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center.
This is a message from Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. First of all, we'd like to thank everyone who attended service last Sunday at the center, and we'll be returning to the center this Sunday. We invite you to join us for Sunday school beginning at 9 a.m. at the center, and the combined service is at 10 a.m. Last Sunday, Senior Pastor Larry Resco spoke on Don't Let a Good Storm Go to Waste. Due to the recent storm damage in our sanctuary, we're praising the Lord now at the center this Sunday. So come on, let's get on one accord.
Here we are, let's get on one accord. Leave all your problems on the outside.
Join Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church this Sunday at the center downtown on Locust Street. We'll see you Sunday. Sunday school is 9 a.m. and the morning service, combined service, is at 10 a.m. Senior Pastor Larry A. Rasko invites everybody to join us. Transportation available. Call 424-7368.
The best part of waking up is Folgers Indoor Cup. That rich aroma starts filling up the room. Let me know I'm one day closer, oh, to getting home to you. The best part of waking up is Folgers Indoor Cup.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab, and now here's Lisa Seif.
We are back with Pastor Jerry Daniels, who is with the Christian Development Center.
Yeah, you notice those initials, right?
CDC.
Center for Disease Control.
Oh, I love that, Christian Development Center. What a lucky place to have you. Tell us now, Jerry, where is your life today? You're involved in so many things. We need to know those things.
Well, I'm currently on my road to LCSW for, you know, licensed clinical social work.
Oh, my God, look out.
Yeah, for counseling and that type of
thing.
Good, which I do anyway,
men.
But
yeah.
I need the credentials to carry that further. But I got into that because of suicide prevention and intervention. My best friend completed that act a couple of years ago, and that was, I'd been exposed to suicide throughout my life, in your face and up front, but not from someone that I loved and respected.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the choice to put a gun in his mouth and end his life one day. Yes. And from that, I thought, you know, somebody's got to do something. And, you know, you have that realization, well, I'm somebody. So yes. I established a My Friend campaign, a nonprofit campaign, to begin to look at suicide prevention and intervention. And I'm actively involved in that. It's a little bit on the back burner now because I'm getting my credentials to carry that as far as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, there again, I'm not a dope dealer, I'm a hope dealer. So, and that's what that's all about, is
that
hope.
That is suicide prevention at its best.
Absolutely. And then I'm also actively involved in Branchville Correctional Facility. I periodically go up there, and I'll go up and do some music for the guys, and we all gather in a chapel. There's a couple hundred crammed in there, and I'll talk to them just like I'm talking to you about. It might be about addiction. It might be about fatherhood. It might be about parenthood. Most of the time, we talk about freedom, which is so valuable because I express to the guys there that if you can't be free in here, you're not going to be free when you get out.
That's an interesting What do you mean by that? If you can't be free in prison.
They don't confront the issues they had that got them there in the first place, whether it's addiction, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is, they're just going to carry it with them when they get out and end up back in there again. So freedom has to come from, freedom comes from inside,
no matter where you're
sitting. Not from outside
in.
Bondage of self. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of...
Do they get it when you tell them that?
Oh, well, we have a big party. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And we now are involved in prison aftercare through a Brother's Keeper is what it's called.
Sure.
And we help guys that get out of Branchville who don't have any place to stay, give them a place to stay, feed them, get them the help they may need if they do have any addiction problems. And most of those guys come and worship with me at CDC. And so we're very diverse. We're not a typical environment, as you would think of a religious environment.
Yeah.
Jeans and T-shirts and diverse, very diverse. Well, people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People to people.
And we deal with the issues that you deal with every day.
Do you find when you go into the prisons that a lot of it is substance abuse or mental illness, both?
Statistically, I forgot what they are, but the people that I meet, 95%. They're there because of substance of some kind.
Yeah.
It may have even been the first time they, you know, snorted something or sold something to Uncle Johnny and the cops happened to be there. You
mm-hmm.
know, most of these guys do not belong in prison. They need to be in an environment that helps them see themselves and overcome this stuff. They don't belong locked up and treated like animals. They don't belong there.
You know, Jerry, this Tuesday I've taken my class from USI to Judge Trockman's reentry drug court program.
Wow.
If you want to join us there, because you just met them from talking at USI, they're going to go observe that reentry drug court because Judge Trockman's right where you are.
Wow.
These folks don't belong. Locked conditional love and help Trockman yet, but he might give people to
me. And I've avoided, you know, hanging out with him. So.
No, just but he's always looking for resources for his reentry drug court program.
Oh, that's
it sounds
fantastic.
Like my Brother's Keeper is a resource.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing now?
That's
a lot
right.
of this
and,
just...
And the suicide prevention and then understanding more about mental health and mental health counseling and how a whole human being needs to be physically, mentally, and spiritually well if they're going to make it.
Put Humpty Dumpty back together
again. Oh, come on.
Again.
That's right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know your wife... And you have a son.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
two sons and a daughter.
Two sons and a daughter.
9-year-old
okay.
Or 10-year-old
I just knew one of the
now.
Sons, I think.
Yeah.
So you have your own family. Wouldn't your grandparents and parents?
Oh, I think about them all the time. Yeah. And I don't.
So you've created a family totally opposite of the family you came from.
Totally. I've rebelled.
In a good way.
I've rebelled against rebellion. Yeah.
I love that.
So I'm a. It's funny because I'm the black sheep of the family by being the white sheep.
Yeah, and that's something. Interesting.
Yeah,
sure.
Interesting analogy. But the wholeness aspect of Branchville, of the suicide prevention, of mental health, is phenomenal. It's phenomenal, especially in a faith-based environment because we've traditionally avoided those issues. We don't want to talk about that, you know.
I think what
we don't want to mention the word suicide.
Oh yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
It's taboo.
It's a sin.
Oh yeah,
addiction. It's a sin.
It's a sin. Yeah. Suicide, addiction.
You don't even want to talk about
it. It's an ouchy subject for people that they will walk wide circles around to avoid talking about.
Yeah,
you know, just that. You know, it's that 3 degrees of separation that we hear about. Everybody knows somebody who has been touched. You know, by addiction, by suicide, by alternative lifestyles, but nobody wants to talk about those things.
No,
you know?
Especially in the church.
Sure.
And so we talk about them, and we're not the most popular place in town, but I guarantee we're hope dealers. Yeah, absolutely.
When you were saying you're the black sheep by being the
white sheep,
right? That's what we hear about all the time. You know, if you keep doing what you always did, you'll keep getting what you always got. And you change that. You know, you change that part of your life by breaking that cycle and creating a healthy family. I think that's awesome.
And if I can do it, if I can experience that, anybody can. Mm-hmm. Anybody can. But there comes a time you got to plant your feet.
Yeah.
You
got to
take a stand and determine enough's enough.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
How can people find you if they want to talk to you or come and share with you?
They can call me at 812 842-2500, 842-2500, and leave a message, and I'll get back with them. That's the quickest way. They can email me, Jerry@CDC, good old Christian Development Center, cdcfamily.org.
Awesome.
So call or email.
Okay.
And I will, if not right away, I will return either the email or the phone call.
So if people want to get involved, and if people want to get involved in the jail ministry with you or the My Friend campaign,
absolutely.
The suicide, okay.
Yeah, just give me a call, yeah. And we'd be happy to, anybody, and I mean that without exaggeration, anybody and everybody as
well. Well, this went way too fast, Jerry. We've got like 3 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrap us up with something, either your song or just your message, because obviously you have one.
Okay. Well, I think if I wrap up with anything, it's this. There are many, many people who consider their circumstances to be hopeless, no matter what they are. There are many, many people who consider that. And I want to be one of the many, many voices that says, your life is not hopeless. It's not based on your circumstances. You are more valuable as a human being than your circumstances. There is hope. Come talk to me and I'll tell you about it.
That's an incredible message that we need to hear it, and we need to hear it repetitively.
Oh, yes, no doubt. No
there
doubt.
Is hope. People can get better.
Well,
definitely.
And I want to say, too, real fast, that's what you do, Lisa.
Yeah.
And
hope dealer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I guess we're going to be hope dealers now. We'll take this on the road.
Except you do it for free. They have to pay at my place.
Well, hopefully LCSW is going to change that.
Yes, there's a lot of care there.
Daddy's got to pay the rent.
Yeah. And, you know, Alice was talking on her show before. A lot of people need that and want that, mm-hmm. but they can't afford it.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a way. There's hope.
There's definitely.
Absolutely.
And if you have any questions or concerns and you're listening today, get a hold of Jerry, get a hold of me, Jane, get a hold of somebody, because we can get you what you need, and it won't cost you a penny.
That's right. No condemnation on this end.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that our radio rehab show went quicker than it just goes quick all the time. Next weekend is Father's Day.
Oh, boy.
And,
I'm hoping I don't get a tie.
Jerry's a big advocate for grandfathers, too.
Absolutely.
So, and how important grandfathers
are. Be sure
are.
To buy your grandfather something also. Be sure to.
Yeah.
Not a tie. Be inventive. Be creative.
Make him a tie.
Yeah, make him a tie. That'd be good. Yeah.
Thanks so much,
Thank
Jerry.
You.
And I am going to come and visit the Christian Development Center
awesome.
Sometime.
Awesome.
When do you all get together and where?
Sunday mornings. It's the old Newberg Cinema building.
Oh, okay.
9:45. We've remodeled it and added 6,000 square feet onto the back of it for educational purposes. So
that's incredible.
But theater's a great place to meet.
You're talking Newberg, Indiana.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Sunday at 9:45 at the old cinemas.
And we do 9:45 because we know most people show up at 10.
All right. So you kind of keep it. Good. Well, thank you so much for coming. Please come back.
Thank you. I will. Thank you very much.
And listening audience, I hope you enjoyed this discussion and interview as much as I did. Keep on keeping on, passing that hope. And don't forget, between now and next week, to do the next right thing.
Here's another question from the GEICO Savings Mail.